This show is a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network, gbncom.com.
Welcome to the Gamers Haven Podcast, a gaming podcast for game masters of all gaming systems. So grab your dice bags and we'll get your game on.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast. We have been assimilated, and will be back next week, when we begin our world-building series. In the meantime, we will continue with the second part of Superheroes, Resistance is Futile. You will listen to our podcast.
Come, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod!
Snitchy boochies!
Hi, welcome to the Harping Monkey. What'll you have?
Hi, I'm Mick Bradley from the House of the Harping Monkey, a fantasy tavern and online community for geeks and fans of mythic media and misfit culture. I'm here to invite you to join us at the Round Table, a bi-weekly podcast that I host with Chris Miller and KJ Johnson, these two guys I found sleeping in the back alley. We talk about role-playing, speculative fiction, comic books, film and TV, and all that geeky stuff. Of course, there are a lot of great geek culture podcasts out there already covering all those subjects. So what we bring to the table is a focus on how it all relates to concepts like myth and truth and archetypes and the works of guys like Joseph Campbell. Yeah, we get all deep and philosophical sometimes.
Last week we left on kind of a high note. There's been a lot of discussion up on the forums about myth and myth is truth and truth is myth, and we pretty much lit a bonfire out there.
It would seem so.
Who the heck is that guy?
Apparently we know virtually nothing about him or her.
He's a mystery shrouded in enigma wrapped in bacon.
I'm a lapsed gamer. I finally came out. Yeah, people are lapsed Catholics. I'm a lapsed gamer. I can't find a game I can believe in. We sent everyone out last week to do some homework to find what the hero's journey was in some aspect of life, pop culture, media, whatever.
All right. Well, for mine, I wanted to choose something that kind of showed my, let's call it, emotional maturity. So I picked the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Right. Well, I chose the musical. The story of it is actually based on an actual Greek myth. I'm going to do the Rocky Horror Show. You might not have realized it was based on an actual Greek myth, but it was.
So if you want to listen to some geeks who know barely enough about all this monomyth stuff to get away with talking about it, come visit our tavern at harpingmonkey.com and grab the feed for the round table and give us an hour of your time. Visit the Harping Monkey Tavern at harpingmonkey.com and treat yourself to some time at the round table. You can also find us on iTunes and most other podcast collectives. We're even a part of the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, the Gaming Podcast Network, and the Goblin Broadcast Network. How spiffy is that?
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Depending on the heroes, the one thing I've always enjoyed as far as a superhero setting is actually making the background heroes, you know, where you have your main characters, but you also have, you know, the premier super team, and, you know...
Yeah, the assortment of assistant...
Who was the background hero that was running in the giant hamster wheel that we unplugged?
Oh, that was Speed Demon.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a hamster wheel, it was a frictionless sphere.
There we go.
That was being suspended in a magnetic field.
And we unplugged it.
And you unplugged it.
And he went splat.
And basically, he had to, in order to stay alive, he had to keep moving.
Uh-huh.
And then they stopped it.
So he went...
You know me, I stay away from that whole religious crap.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I always enjoyed making those heroes, though, that are in the background. It's always fun. The NPCs are always the best thing to do in a superhero game.
Well, and then you can have, like, the sons of gods from the Greek myth show up, mm-hmm. because they use those for heroes a lot.
Yeah.
Hercules.
There's stuff out there. You don't even need to even think about a concept. You go, well, there's the you know, the Greek pantheon, the Norse pantheon. There you go. There's some superheroes and supervillains right there.
And look at that. What's that? That funny, funny superhero show with the superhero wannabes. There was the bowler. There was the shoveler.
I want to be a superhero.
No, the Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
Oh, God.
I loved that movie. And that's along the same line.
That was apparently based off a comic by Dark
Horse.
Based on a
comic book called The Flaming Carrot, I believe.
Was it The Flaming Carrot? Uh-huh. Oh, I used to read that comic. That comic was hilarious.
They were out of The Flaming Carrot comic.
They had a crossover with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Now, there was death in that, but it was comical. Or accidental.
Well, that's also going more towards, I wouldn't even classify that as Silver Age. That's a modern comic book. But it's more done for comedy.
It's a funny, yeah. I almost like that better starting out as the, you know, you want to be a superhero, but nobody treats you with any respect, and you have to work your way up.
Well, that's what that Midland City
kind of exactly.
I mean, you want to deal with how the city's going to handle you, if you're going to have fans, how the press is going
to
handle
it. What happens when they take the superheroes to court?
Yeah.
We're going to put you on the witness stand. No, you don't. You don't put the rock on the witness. No. No.
That was bad.
And, yeah.
The rock was a little,
You're letting him out? What? He's just going to get hit by a shovel again.
That's the beautiful thing when you introduce superheroes into a setting, into a modern world, or whatever setting you want to. Is you can really sort of go anywhere with that. So you can have aliens invade and
alien hats.
Yeah,
those hats were nasty.
Hey, that was fun. I based that on a Darkwing Duck episode. So
yeah, I remember that one. The talking hats.
The talking hats. Yes, that was fun.
Yeah, I can't complain. It was. They were nasty when they got on you, though. It was like, oh crap.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing you definitely that I've always notice that you have to be kind of careful with is if you have a lot of other heroes, like other supergroups in the city and whatnot, you don't want it to turn into, oh, hey, there's a big nasty thing, let's call, and your heroes, your players say, well, let's call the Freedom Force in. You gotta sort of make it clear and try to make it such that they don't think you're just sort of, it's like, oh, okay, well, they're not available. You have to give them a reason. You know, it's like, well, they're dealing with their own stuff. They're in another dimension. They're dealing with some sunken sub out in the Pacific.
Or there's two giant robots attacking the city and they were taking out one, you're taking out the other one.
Exactly. You gotta make it a point to let your players know that, well, this is, I like saying, okay, when I do a superhero game is you are in the comic book. This is a comic book. The name of the comic book is this. You are in the comic book. It's about your heroes. People aren't going to buy your comic book to read about your heroes calling in the Freedom Force to come take care of what's happening.
They want you to take care of what's ever happening.
People will buy the Freedom Force comic book to figure that out.
But if you're playing later on, though, or in the more serious ones, you're going to have a crossover, but you are going to have those... I mean, they're players, so they should decide to be active. But you are going to have a lot more darker heroes who are like, I don't really want to save that place. I'm just going to let somebody else deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, it also goes into what kind of a game you're running. I mean, if you're running a Silver Age game, it needs to be made clear that that's not what the Silver Age mentality. You know, if you say, "Well, I'm just going to let it happen," well, then that's not being a hero. The problem I've run into with some games is where you'll have some players who are working with you and some players whose concept of what a superhero is not the same as everyone else's. And the key thing is to talk to your players, make sure they know what kind of a game you're running, make sure they know what they need to be thinking about. And really, it's just a, you know, that's why I think for a superhero game, it's best to have a session where you're making your superheroes. You know, it's like get everyone together ahead of time, everyone together to make a group of heroes. That way they can try to work together and figure out what kind of a dynamic they want, what kind of how their superheroes might be able to work together, that sort of thing.
You also need to somewhat limit the duplication of powers within a party.
Right.
Because unlike some games where having an extra mage might be helpful, in superhero games, you really are stepping on other people's toes a lot of times.
Yeah, you have to differentiate between each character. Each person has to have a different set of skills, yeah. Otherwise,
and then you know,
feeling like they're not being able to do everything
because if everybody, if everybody is super
strong,
you want
to be complimentary, to the other players.
The only character really I know how to play very well is a Paragon. The thing is, I don't really want to play Paragon in the next game because we have a superhero game coming up, but I don't know what to play because all I know how to play is that big guy that goes in and goes, "Oh, I'll save you." Smiles and the little thing goes ding off his teeth. But I want to play something else.
The thing is, though, you're thinking Paragon like a Superman style.
Yeah.
Don't even think of that. There's also styles like Captain America,
But Captain America is still, super. I'm thinking things like, I like the idea of being a superhero, but, what about normal people being a superhero?
Well, you can also,
Batman style character.
You get
Batman
to do that.
Yes, he does.
Well, but Batman always wins. That style doesn't always win.
But if I play a Batman-style character, maybe I'll always win, too.
Maybe. Until Batman shows up,
then
he wins.
And says, quit stealing off my copyright.
His lawyers present you with a lawsuit.
But that brings into... That reminds me of something else, is that depending on the superhero game you're running, is if it's a Silver Age game, money is generally not going to be a big thing.
Iron Age?
In a fantasy game or a modern game where it's like, well, I have to afford to be able to, I want to buy this magic item and this armor and this, equipment, etc. Or in a superhero game, you're not really going to pay attention to that. And one thing I've always had a problem with in looking around, you want to be careful with, is if you have, villains that use items to enhance themselves, be prepared for when your players... take those things and want to use them for their own. Especially in a game like Mutants and Masterminds or Champions or Marvel or anything like that, is you have character, you have a point-based system, and a lot of superhero games are point-based, where generally you're going to have to pay points to be able to use stuff on a regular basis. Make sure people understand that if generally you're going to grab stuff to be in the trophy room,
Well, you can also say if
so if you want to use it, you got to pay points for it.
You don't want somebody to feel like, well, the villain has a shrink ray, and I defeated the villain, I can't use it. So they capture it that session.
Mm-hmm.
If there's still session left, they can use it during that session without any penalty.
Yeah.
But once that session's over, it either stops functioning or you spend the points at that point to use it.
Or they put it in the trophy room.
Or they put it in the trophy room.
The police
room.
Confiscate it,
Yeah.
Or they handed over to the police.
But during that session, I think you should be allowed to use whatever you get. But again, after that, you're right. You have to pay the points
I remember there was a big debate going on back when news groups were the thing to have debates on Champions was should players and characters have to pay points if they picked up cars and lobbed them as weapons or used it as a weapon?
That would be stupid.
Yeah, it's that's ridiculous.
We're talking about you've just
come on, if you can bench press a bus, you're gonna want to pick up a bus and smack
but
someone
if you've
with it.
Gone on
Or a light
if
boat.
You've defeated
or a light boat
somebody
or
and they
a street
had
or whatever.
They had a magic sword, during that episode, they get to use that magic sword. And if the hero afterwards goes, "I really like that magic sword," well, the power starts to dim, you start spending points, and it becomes yours. And it's still probably not as powerful as it was, but you can build up to that point. So, using points for cars and stuff, that would be stupid. Superheroes should be... Same with basic weapons. If you're playing a Punisher-style character, you don't need to spend points for those normal guns that you pick up. Mm-hmm. You just pick them up. As you're going down, you've defeated these cronies. They had machine guns on them. You pick them up. Mm-hmm. It's not like...
Plus, also, if you're running a Silver Age game, it's like, especially with guns and whatnot, your superhero's not going to pick up and use a gun. Come on!
Well, if it's Silver Age,
If it's Silver Age,
in general.
And if your superhero picks up a gun, come on, you're doing something wrong here.
But in the other types, gun-wielding superheroes is...
Yeah, like Iron Age.
Yeah, that's a normal... That could be a normal thing.
Now, typically with that, you're going to have NPCs and a lot of antagonists that aren't as colorful or flashy as a Silver Age supervillain. You're going to have more subtle guys like Kingpin, guys who work behind the scenes.
But you don't see very much of.
Well, and also sometimes their goals might be more realistic. Because in the Silver Age,
more monetary.
Yeah.
In nature, not holding world ransom for $1 million type of monetary, but things like, well, I'm going to improve my stock options, or get all this land so I can develop it and make money. That's more an Iron Age feel.
And you have more vengeance. You have more, this person did something to me, so I'm going to kidnap them and horribly torture them until heroes show up. And
Anthony can attest to you guys that having a dependent NPC in a superhero game is always fun. I mean, he loved it when I kept putting his character's girlfriend in harm's way. But, that's part of a comic book, though. Supervillain is going to shoot this building into the moon. Oh, hey, guess what? Your mother's in
there. At least in Silver Age, though, the chances of your loved ones being horribly murdered is a lot slimmer. Yes, they'll be kidnapped, or they happen to be by the bank when it's being robbed. Yeah. But in the later on, you have villains that go out of their way to find your loved ones and kill them.
Right. Well, that's more an Iron Age style thing.
Which in some ways is somewhat stupid, too, depending on who you're going after. Because in the Iron Age, those heroes might rip off your head.
Yeah.
Or limbs, or other things.
Exactly.
Best example. Hulk, eat Freddy Prinze Jr.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, that's another type of... We need to talk about the types of heroes, too. Because I never... Until you talked about them at one point, I didn't know about the talking monkeys.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Talking monkeys?
Well, monkeys are gorillas. I don't...
It's monkeys. Monkeys, apes, anything like that is for some reason in the Silver Age, in the Bronze Age, and whatnot. You'll notice in a lot of superhero settings, Marvel, DC, and whatnot, there's usually at least one talking monkey.
Some sort of primate.
Some sort of a primate that is either super smart, super strong. DC had Gorilla Grodd and Gorilla City, and there's Monkey Man and O'Brien. I mean, it's a music thing. It's actually sort of a subgenre in and of itself of having these monkeys that are superheroes. The thing is, DC Comics actually had a policy limiting the amount of monkeys that would appear on their cover. They actually had a written policy on it because they found out that if you put a monkey on the cover of a comic book doing something human, like, ordering your burger, talking on the phone, whatnot, that issue sold better than previous issues. So they determined that this was a good idea to have more talking monkeys. So, yes, you'll read some comics from the 60s and 70s. You will find lots of talking monkeys.
Well, does that have to do with the Planet of the Apes and that type of stuff? Because personally,
I don't know where it all started, but it probably that had something to do with it.
Personally, if I see a monkey walking around eating a hamburger or, starting fires or something, I'm going to call the police and or get a weapon and remove this monkey from society.
Like monkeys,
they will kill us.
No, well, Gorilla Grodd is a telepathic monkey. So.
Yeah, that's even more horrifying. So he knows how to make fire and he's telepathic.
Yes. Thinking,
Can control your mind. Great, so you pick up that gun and he goes, you don't want to hurt me. You can put the gun down.
You
want to
get me a hamburger and give me your credit card and buy me monkey stuff. Damn dirty apes.
Soda pop. Yes.
Hate them.
Give me a banana.
banana.
But yes, the talking monkeys are sort of a subgenre in and of themselves.
And then there's heroic or villainous monsters. I mean, Hulk.
The Hulk,
Hulk's gone through different
incarnations. Yes.
Yeah, the smart Hulk, the gray Hulk, and then there was the green hulking, idiot Hulk.
The Hulk first showed up, he was a gray. He was gray Hulk. Then in the next issue, he became green Hulk. because all because the printer asked Stan Lee to change the color because they had a trouble
printing the gray.
Printing gray. So we've just made him green. And then later on, he became the Gray Hulk again. Now, the Gray Hulk was not as strong as the Green Hulk, but was also smarter.
Wasn't he a mobster?
And he did become a mobster, became Mr. Fix-It. I think that was his name, Mr. Fix-It or Mr. Fix.
Because then in Ultimates, the Hulk is a monster that just eats people.
And in he became the smart Green Hulk, which was the Green Hulk with Banner's mind. And then he reverted back to the monster being more destructive, last I knew. But in the Ultimates, yes, it's the Gray Hulk, and he's smart but more instinctual. He can actually talk to you, but he also is a big bully. He's basically your chaotic evil type of character.
He took a fat man's pants. That's where he got.
Took a fat man's pants, and he
might have killed him even. I don't
drinks
know.
Drinks trucks of beer and kills people and eats them.
He eats them.
Yeah.
He's not very much. One. He's not a very good hero at that point.
No. But he did drive off the Kree.
Because he ate his way out of their detention center, isn't it?
No, the Kree was a shape changing or really a. The Kree was this highly regenerative alien race that's trying to invade, and the Ultimates are getting their butts kicked by them. And so General Fury says, okay, we're going to implement Plan Beta.
Which is to release the Hulk?
Banner's,
I didn't get that
Banner's
far,
in custody. Banner's in... No. Banner's in custody. And so what they do is they talk to him and be like, okay, if you do this, we'll give you this. He's like, all right, whatever. Because Banner hates the Hulk, so they're on a chopper and it's flying out over the jungle where the Kree are, and this one guy, one of the soldiers, is on the comms with General Fury, and General Fury's like, all right, well, I accept full responsibility. All right, and the guy looks over at Banner and punches him. And Banner's like, listen, you guys got me doped up so much, you know, I'm probably nothing's going to happen. Uh-huh. Punches him again. It's like, listen, you know, all you're going to end up doing is knocking me out. Okay. Throws him out of the cover. And you just see Banner's going, ah! And then his eyes turn green, and then he lands.
In the next issue,
there's a big crater, and the Hulk is just smashing things left and right, and actually gets his hands on... Captain America basically points him in the direction of the Kree leader, who the Captain America's been beaten on. But the guy regenerates so fast, he's beating the crap out of everybody. So the Hulk starts just tearing him up, tearing chunks off of him, and he just keeps regenerating, so he just decides to eat him. And that's how he defeats him. It's like, regenerate that! The Ultimates is a great place to start. For a modern age, more serious type of
more
a comic
gritty.
Book, much more gritty, but still has that heroic aspect
to
it.
It's like the Warhammer of
superheroes.
Of superheroes.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's much grittier, much darker, much bloodier.
Yeah, but it's fun. It actually it's a bit, to use the term, it's more hip for the modern generation. You know.
Yeah.
I highly recommend any of the Marvel Ultimate series. It's great reading.
Considering how old we are, any more hip, and we might break one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Welcome to World of Wizardry. This week, we have a special treat for you guys. An exclusive insight into the life of the reclusive wizard Weirdbeard. We're broadcasting live from the Sacred Pool in the Enchanted Forest, where Weirdbeard will shortly be casting a highly intricate and challenging divination spell. Watch closely now as Weird lights the candles, kneels by the pool in reverence, and speaks the final summoning incantation.
Bloody hell. Nipping matches in the running water. Oh, bugger it. Oh, blessed sands of time. Oh, wondrous spirits of the future. Tell me how I can make my homebrew more alcoholic.
I must have wrapped the fermenting bin in a blanket and keep it warmer to ensure the sugar turns to alcohol.
Cool. And tell me, oh wise ones, how I can improve my skills as a DM so that my players do not pull my beard and complain about my games behind my back.
Thou must be less slothful and must plan your games more thoroughly in advance.
Groovy, groovy. Last one, I promise. I've got a 20 gold coin Amazon token left over from my birthday. Are there any decent movies out there to buy at the moment?
Enough, petty conjurer. Thou must cease and desist from troubling ancient spirits of power with petty questions. Visit www.doesmygeek.com, where thou will find the great podcast called Does My Geek Look Big in This? There you will find the answers you seek. Now be gone.
Well, there you have it, folks. Words of wisdom from the great spirits themselves. Next week, who lives in a tower like this? Goodbye from me, and see you next time.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Right, we're back with yet another installment of our fabulous three-parter.
Boy.
Today on our fabulous three-parter, I don't know why I'm even trying to talk any...
Cockney accent?
Horrible accent. I'm going to stop before people start hitting me with fish. I'm going to give a nice review of a new Mutes and Masterminds book. It's not horribly new, but it's a good book that everyone needs to know about. Nathan's going to give us a beautiful rant.
Of doom.
And Jeremy, our resident NPC guru, will be giving us a character again, because God knows we need character. We're going to go ahead and start at the top of the list with the review!
The review.
Well, today on the review, I'm going to be talking about Mutants and Masterminds Ultimate Power book. It's been out for a couple months now from the obligatory Green Ronin Publishing that we all love. It's not Mongoose because they suck. And
They want to send us free stuff, we'll still review it.
Oh yeah, but I'll still tell them that it sucks, typically.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless it's their 1 in 100 book.
But Green Ronin can send us stuff and we'll review it.
Yeah, easily. But Green Ronin's Ultimate Power book retails for about $36.95. Buy it at your local game store. It's a hardcover, full-color book, just like their regular line of stuff. And it is everything you need to know about making superpowers. It's new superpowers for use with mutants and masterminds. It gets into power creation, it gets into flaw creation, extras, drawbacks, tons and tons and tons of stuff in this book. It is about 220 pages, 223 pages. It gives a listing of all the powers from the main book, plus all new powers in a new section. And we're talking a huge section for that. We're talking a section of power creation that goes from about page 24 on to the section on creating powers, and the section on the new powers goes from page 24 to
123. So 99 pages.
Exactly. It gives you a ton of stuff. Details how they built their powers for the main book. It details how they built the new powers. They break everything down as far as developing a power and making powers for your characters. It is just absolutely a fantastic book. It's well worth the money. It's definitely up to par for Green Ronin's stuff. I mean, I heard an interview with Chris Pramus, I heard an interview with Steve Kenson, who's the director of the Mutants and Masterminds line. And he said that he put this book through the paces of seeing if he could create every power he knows of out of the Legion of Superheroes. Now, anyone familiar with Legion of Superheroes knows that's a heck of a lot of superpowers. And he could do it with this book. So it's got tons of stuff, great charts, great amount of information in it. It's a good read, as usual. It's all written by Steve Kinson. And it's just a fantastic book. I highly recommend it for anyone who uses Mutants and Masterminds as their main superhero system. It's a good book either, even if you don't use Mutants and Masterminds, because it'll give you good ideas for other powers. So, highly recommend it.
We should also make a special note. The Mutants and Masterminds series, the artwork in it for superheroes is great.
Gorgeous. They actually use comic book artists.
It's very a few of them have been cartoonish, but not in a bad way at
right.
all. While I myself have not purchased this particular book yet, the normal Mutants and Mastermind book, gorgeous. I've seen the pictures in this one, again, gorgeous. Two thumbs up for the art. Definitely.
Yep. Very well done.
And this is definitely a must-have for
I would actually, I would like to see an art book put out by them.
That would be nice, yes. I would buy that.
Both superhero and other. I bet they could... Yeah,
Green Goblin does some pretty good artwork in general.
Yeah,
they really do.
When they do, especially color.
Oh, yeah.
I like their color stuff better than the black and white. But
awesome book. Buy it.
And Green Goblin, if you're listening, put out an art book. I think it'd do well.
Oh yes.
Put out an art book and send us a copy so we can like.
Yeah, we need three.
Gush
there's
over
three
it.
Of us. Man, Skeeto doesn't need one.
Well, I don't necessarily need one, but I would definitely like to see one.
Oh yes.
I'll take yes.
But we'll be back with the rant up next. The rant. It's okay, but we're back with the rant today.
Yes, and this is definitely a rant. No, nothing about it. I'm going to talk about this. We've all seen it. You go to your local website about gaming information, and not just role-playing games, but video games, and you come up to a forum that has information posted about the latest console sales, and you see that. Of course, one system or another system is falling behind in the console wars, and they're losing money, and blah, 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 blah. Then you get down to the comments, and the first comment you always get is, "You sucksers! You hacksers don't like my game system! You all sucks! You all dies!" Okay, this, and I'm going to use the word, and it's going to be blanked out, of course, this
Smurf
is ridiculous. It's a video game system. Who cares who's selling how many? The video game system, or the purpose of a video game system, is to play video games. Are you listening to me, Sony? Video games. Not watch Blu-ray movies. Not record your TV. Not, show all this little crap on the internet that no one's ever going to do anything with. It's to play games. Thank you, Nintendo. Games. That's why it's called a video game console. Being so religiously devout about your video game system only shows that you do not have the maturity to understand and realize and acknowledge that whereas your system has these systems have these strengths too. Don't get me wrong, I love Nintendo's machine. It's great. The Wii. It's very fun. Thing is, the Wii is not as graphically advanced as the other systems. Sony system? Yeah, you did a good job. Problem is, no vibration control. What the hell are you thinking? Oh, we don't want to pay the licensing fee for it because we can't get it for free, so we're just going to exclude it. Okay, now with no rumble feature, playing games on the PlayStation 3 sucks. There's no feedback. That's what people liked about the controller. Feedback. That's why Sony's PlayStation Rumble controllers just leapt off the shelves when they came out. Everyone loved the idea of, the controller reacts when you get hit or something. Don't have that anymore. Microsoft, you got a good all-around system. There's just one problem. The next time you build a system, make sure you use good parts so the machine doesn't overheat, catch on fire, and burn down people's houses. The fact of the matter is this. Every system has pluses and minuses, some stronger than others. But you don't have any right as a person to go online and flame people for their opinions, treating people like crap because they don't feel the same way about your opinion or game system. Does not mean anything. So, you people out there who just can't get through your heads that video game systems are video game systems, played for games, systems are going to be different, understand that and accept it. You'll be burning in hell, and I'll be holding the nice spit that churns as you roast. Thank you.
We've got character.
Going along the superhero genre, my favorite NPC is an NPC called Larry Z. That's not his actual name. His actual name is something alien, because Larry Z is an alien. One of those creepy, about 4 foot tall, gray, big-headed aliens whose people will kidnap you and do bad, bad things in their spaceship to you. Anal probes and such.
No more probes.
Blowing up cows and, things like that. But Larry Z doesn't do that. That's not why he's on Earth. Now, a little background on Larry Z. I came up with Larry Z because in a very wonderful video game,
Perfect Dark,
they had the Greys, and you could play one in the multiplayer one. So I created this FBI agent who happened to be an alien, who was 6 feet tall. Now, he's not really 6 feet tall. He has mechanical legs that he wears, and nobody in the FBI really realizes he's an alien because he has mind control, as well as electronic devices and holographic devices. But he didn't come to Earth to become a superhero. He just kind of fell into that. He was actually an FBI agent. But he was on Earth to kind of... Well, he crash-landed on Earth. And then he found out that the other Greys were attempting to invade Earth and or do bad things. Larry Z is a lot of fun. His natural language is horrifying. It actually sounds like the language out of...
out of Galaxy Quest?
Galaxy Quest. That's the natural language of the Greys. For those of you who have been kidnapped by the Greys, you will understand this. And Larry Z had multiple mechanical devices he could use, as well as mental powers and such. And he wasn't physically the strongest character, but he was just fun. He was creepy. He would stand in the back, and his favorite thing to do, just to freak out humans that knew what he looked like, was he would close his eyes individually. Now, remember, he has big, giant alien eyes, and when he's staring at you with that soulless, dead stare, and one eyelid closes and opens back up slowly, and there's a kind of a sticking noise.
I remember that.
People just get creeped out. And he was also very, very scientific about everything, whether it was how to save someone, the death of someone, saving someone, building something. He's always very scientific, very kind of cold and calculating. But the nice thing was he actually did care about humanity. Cold, almost reptilian, somewhat dead. But he actually cared. Inside, he's fuzzy and nice.
And warm.
And warm.
Just don't inside and stay warm for the night.
Yes. Just don't piss him off because he could do wiggity things with your brain and or make your brain ooze out of your ears.
Ew.
So he's a lot of fun in a superhero game. Which time period was that?
Modern.
That was a modern one.
That was a modern game. So, you know, please use NPCs and characters from all sorts of things. I mean, I didn't expect to use Perfect Dark character named Larry Z, an FBI agent in a superhero game, but it worked out, and I've played him I played him after that, even.
Yeah.
So.
And the superhero rumble in the arena.
Which never got finished, but.
That's true. He would have won. Yeah.
I played.
He was the first returning champion ever.
What happened to my guy? What was I playing? I was playing like the giant lizard thing.
Sklurkscree, I think was his name.
I got hosed.
Hey, you guys, do you hear something? I think I hear the flower children calling.
Podcasting from their secret satellite headquarters.
Dude, it's your kitchen. Three friends gather around the dais of discourse,
like at your mom's kitchen table.
Do battle boredom and bash finality.
Armed with only a fistful of comics and games.
Okay, Night Ranger, it looks like you've angered the Kobold Shaman, and he's about to cast a spell at you. What do you do?
Is he wearing boots?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it might cause arcane spell failure.
Okay, yes, he's wearing high hard leather boots.
Well, in that case, I'll attack with my longsword.
Okay, roll to hit.
13.
That's a miss.
Working man?
What is it, Tangent? Can't you see that we're playing Keep on the Borderlands?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but we just got an urgent email from the inker from Mutant Warrior Base on the planet Zargon, and he wants to know what our podcast is all about. What do you want me to tell him?
Well, tell him that we're a roundtable discussion with a revolving cast.
Okay, I've got that. Now what?
Well, tell him that we have topics about comics, games, and other related media, like TV, movies, and novels.
Okay, I've got that.
Well, don't forget to tell them about our comics, gaming, and sci-fi convention coverage.
Well, yeah, and our interviews with game and comic creators.
Yeah, sounds like everything he needs to get his geek on.
Well, I'll just finish up by saying that you can reach us at www.fistfulofcomics.com.
That's great. Now can we get back to our game?
Well, I want to keep you.
Okay, great. All right, so he finishes casting his spell, and he fires a magic missile at you. Take 3 points of damage.
But I have boots on.
If you will not fight, then you will meet your destiny.
We do have some random encounters this week, but we will save them for next time. Thanks to everyone who sent us some kind words, but, being as we were assimilated, random encounters will be back next week. Deal with it.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You can visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com. You can visit our website there, leave us an audio. You can call our voicemail line at 206-984-4122. Leave a message on the Frapper map. You can drop us an email at ThousandMonkeysProductions@gmail.com. And you could also just visit the forums on Fistful of Comics. We have our own little section there.
Expect no mercy if you head out west.
Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 2.5 license, and is hosted by the fine folks at www.fistfulofcomics.com and is a Thousand Monkeys production.
Now there's just one rule, and it's go eye for an eye. And if you swallow the drone, you'll be fast to die.
Before I start the rant, I would just like to say that here in Kansas, we don't seem to have a lot of true Canadians. So if you know any real Canadians, please email us. That would be
nice. Yes. I know a real Canadian.
Silence!
Do they listen to the podcast?
No, but I could ask her to start listening to the podcast.
Well, we're not Canadian, but we could be. That's our motto.
Yeah.
The Transformers themselves could be considered superheroes. They are here to help humanity.
That's true. Well, not all of them.
To fight the evil Decepticons.
And they are
Decepticons! Yeah, they're the supervillains.
They're supervillains.
But yes. Would they have superheroes on top of that?
I don't know. They could. You know, Optimus Prime, I mean, he's super and a hero, so I'd say he's a superhero.
Who would win between, like, Decepticons and Batman?
Oh, Batman.
Of course. Now, if they're unpopped eyeballs, after a while you're going to figure out how to pull that eyeball out without popping it.
I just love that.
Hulk eat Freddy Prinze Jr.
They were fun.
I was like, if this guy claims to be Jesus, I'm going to punch Ethan in the head.
Nope. You guys are really messed up, you know that?
Yes.
But, well, that's good, long as that's been established.
But as long as you understand that as messed up as we are, you're just as messed up as we are.
Because he's Superman.
He's Superman.
Yeah, but the thing is, his acid eats through anything.
He's Superman.
Not your Superman.
Obviously, acid doesn't eat through Kryptonian physiology.
Superman and was it Wonder Woman?
Crack the Earth.
There you go.
God.
So it's like the Crucible with Voltron.
I'll form the head.
Dun, 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 dun.